It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. B Mitch and I out west, Ashburn, VA. B, it is legitimately Tampa week now.
It is. I mean, we're Wednesday. We're on a hump day, brother.
This is the beginning. This is the NFL Monday.
Yes.
I know that sounds silly, but basically, Monday is Wednesday, and they build up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to travel, Sunday, game day.
There you go.
And I just, even waking up this morning, B, and this is silly, I feel like a little like a kid. Like, I just get so excited for the NFL to start.
Well, I mean, I was there at the beginning of this week. You know, once you see that week pops in, you're ready to go. The Wednesday really lets you know because they're really practicing and starting to get ready, putting in their game plans and all that. But ultimately, as soon as preseason ends, I give myself that little 1 week now since I have a little space, and then I'm ready to go.
I can't wait, man. Yeah, I think everybody kind of takes that little Labor Day weekend bye now that the NFL, going to 17 games has created, which has my full support. And I'm just fired up. So we got Ashburn today, tomorrow. We'll hear from Dan Quinn today. You know, as far as like...
You know, we're talking about football is tomorrow, JP.
I know, dude.
it's tomorrow because you got the Thursday night kickoff, man. It's going to be something special.
Dude, not just tomorrow night.
Friday?
What's funny is if you throw it in rewind a year and the opener was going to be Chiefs-Lions, a lot of people were like, man, why does Detroit get that game? You know, it's supposed to be kind of a marquee game. Well, and Detroit came out and kicked the Chiefs' ass, frankly.
See, something we need to start looking at. How did Detroit do this thing? Nobody gave him any respect. You know, Dan Campbell rolled in. He talked about biting knees, and that's all people talked about.
That is.
But then all of a sudden you saw his team playing. You're like, hold on now. This is a damn good football team. These guys are playing. Last year when they were given that, people did not give them any respect until they beat the Chiefs.
That was a tone setter.
And everybody felt like, oh, the Chiefs just wasn't ready. They overlooked them. Detroit should have been in the Super Bowl this year.
Well, here's what – I mean, dude, it's funny. I was listening to PFT's podcast this morning, the Part of My Take guys, and I was replaying – I still think Dan Campbell made a mistake. I believe it was end of the first half. They went for it, didn't score when they could have kicked.
Yeah.
And a lot of the theory to me, if
you got a little bit too aggressive.
If you're inside the five, if you're inside your opponent's 5 yard line and you want to go for it on fourth down, I don't hate that. Because even if you don't get it, they're going to have first and 10 from their own three. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the odds of you getting the ball back are really significant. The problem with that theory in that situation, and now all of a sudden we're talking about the NFC Championship game, but what the hell? The problem in that situation, there was like 3 seconds left.
Yeah.
So there was no. Like, San Fran wasn't getting the ball back anyway because of the time. Mm-hmm. And you're on the road, take the points on the road.
Overly aggressive.
Yeah, I thought that
sometimes,
was the one.
Sometimes, you know, the coach got to pump the brakes a little bit. I understand you want people to play aggressive on a football field. That's your mindset. But you also have to play aggressively smart.
Sure. It's like anything. There's a line. I've always said out here there's for a long time, there's a very thin line between confidence and arrogance. And
I thought you were about to say love and hate.
Sure, that too. You know, the one I really say is there's a very thin line between being a hard ass and a butthole. How about that? I don't know. I think the margins in the NFL are razor thin. Mm-hmm. Razor thin. The league, you have a multi-hundred billion dollar industry that is built for everybody to be equal.
Yeah.
It is built for everyone to be equal. You know what I mean?
It's built to be equal, but you know what?
It ain't.
When you start being a little smarter, you're not going to be equal with the people that are dumb.
Well, dude, I mean, there's ways to differentiate. Quarterback's the first one, right? If you have a legit quarterback, that changes everything.
Yes.
But the other path that exists is build a awesome organization.
Yep.
And maybe Washington's got both all of a sudden. We'll find out. I truly am fired up. just for the year to get started, one thing we're not going to do, B, you said last year in the opener the Chiefs kind of overlooked the Lions, and yeah. I think that's accurate. As a radio program, we are not going to overlook Tampa.
No,
Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield, Mike
and
Evans.
And we should not.
Well, to help us with that, J.C. Allen covers the Bucs for Bucs Game Day SI. He's going to join us at 10:30. We're getting our first real preview of what the Bucs are, the changes they made. I don't know how much it's going to impact. Baker Mayfield had a true renaissance year last year. But Dave Canales left. Dave Canales was the OC. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big change. Coming up, J.C. Allen at 10:30. At 11 a.m., Dalton Wasserman is a Pro Football Focus guy. He's quite high on the Commanders.
Yes.
I think it'll be good for us to talk to somebody that's quite high on the
Commanders. Somebody outside the realm.
Right.
Somebody that's not like Jeff.
At 11:30.
With that syndrome.
The flip side, I was reading this last night. I enjoyed the Ringer's NFL content. The Ringer, not so high on the Commanders. We'll go through that. Our guy Dan Kolko from Masson is going to join us at noon. And then we hope to hear from Governor Wes Moore sometime today.
Yeah.
We're kind of leaving that open. We know the governor wants to get on, make his picks, especially with the Ravens playing tomorrow night. So it kind of moves up our normal schedule with the Gov.
Yep.
He's also a pretty busy fella.
Yeah,
so we
is. Gotta very
yeah.
We have to move and shake with him.
Let's say good morning to the boys.
Stick and move, stick and move.
Good morning, boys in the aquarium. How do you do?
Yo,
what up, brothers?
What's
Jeffrey?
Good?
Hey, buddy. All right, B. So we're very focused. Landfill. I appreciate you doing the math because this is often a contentious topic. The NFL kickoff is in 34 hours. I mean, when you say it like that, we've made it. We've made it through the wilderness, B.
Hey,
and
man.
College football last weekend is so great, and I love it.
It's coming. We'll get there in a few.
Like eventually you get married and you realize it's the love of your life. That's the NFL, right?
Most people wish that.
College football, there are people
you... I don't know how you find out of that.
That's true. That's true. College football, there are people you date that you enjoy that relationship and you're happy you had it, right? That's me in college football. Like... It holds a special place here, but the NFL is my wife.
I mean, NFL to me, I really like it. I like it coming up. But I think, like I'm saying, essentially putting it like that, the girl, because college football is a little bit more exciting in my book because it's
really?
More.
It's college, more wide open.
College football, you watch 10 games, you see 20 offenses. NFL, you watch 10 games, you see one,
yeah,
possibly two offenses and two defenses. Everybody do the same things. College football, a little bit more exotic.
Definitely exotic,
you know,
dude.
NFL, they come out with a business suit on.
Right.
College football, they got a Pocahontas dress on. I'm just saying.
Let me ask you this then, because I've had this debate with friends,
uh-huh.
And I've had this debate with like people that work in both college
yeah.
football or the NFL.
Yeah.
And hell, when I had this debate, it was pre-transfer portal. So that is another wrinkle.
Okay.
Where do you think it's harder to coach? Like head coach, OC, DC, whatever, where do you think it's harder to coach? The pros or legit Power 5 college football?
The pros are still harder to coach. In college, I don't care if the NIL stuff has started, transfer portal is there. Still, that coach has more control.
Right.
You got the NFL now where the players make more money than you, okay? And they're men. A lot of them got kids. Some of the coaches now are coming in that may be a little younger than the damn players. And they're going to challenge you at a different level. You know, in college, you could threaten somebody, get out of here. Can't do that in the pros. Even with the money going around now in college.
I think the level of competition is so much higher in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like when you watch a stud college football game, Notre Dame versus A&M,
mm-hmm.
There are probably 20 kids on that field that are going to play in the pros.
Maybe less than that.
Maybe 10.
To be honest with you.
But everybody in the pros is in the pros.
Yeah.
And it's not – everybody thinks like, oh, Bama versus Georgia or whatever. And that's awesome. Those games are great.
Mm-hmm.
But NFL rosters, they scour the entire country. They scour international. They're looking at Australian football, whatever.
Totally.
Like, it's just – I agree with you. I think the level of competition is so much harder. But – at the same time, you got to motivate these kids, and I mean, there's a lot of moving parts.
Cause see, the thing about it, like when you're looking in college, and somebody makes a little small mistake, ends up being an incompletion. make that same mistake in the pros, it's a touchdown.
Right.
So, you know, you have to coach to a higher level and a higher grade to make sure that those guys don't screw up those things. And I think the NFL, that it makes sure that you have to do everything to perfection.
Good morning to all the folks on the stream. I think we're up and running on the stream. B, you know what so I had a fantasy draft last night. Mm-hmm. All right, I had the third overall pick, and it was a full point PPR, and it went Christian McCaffrey and then CeeDee Lamb second.
All right.
Who would you have taken number three?
Christian McCaffrey first, CeeDee Lamb second. I'd probably go with a guy like a Saquon.
Saquon that early?
Yeah, or because he's gonna catch the ball way more than you think. And because, like, when you look at Christian McCaffrey.
Now, the consensus there is kind of Tyreek, Breece Hall, or Bijan Robinson.
I understand. But Bijan is playing on the team with Kirk.
True.
He's going to be throwing it downfield or dumping it to a tight end. We know that.
True.
We've seen it already. This team now, with those receivers, okay, you add Jahan, they hope that he's going to be a great slot. But you have a tight end, two receivers, and you have a quarterback. Saquon's going to be wide open this year.
That's
so
true.
If you think Bijan is going to be that great, I would probably say I put a lot of stuff on him too.
Landfill and Jeff, who
kind of hoping he has a good year so that fool up there in New York could get fired.
You're rooting for Saquon. I can feel that.
I'm rooting for him because of the dude who's a true idiot up there. Shane, that's his name?
Yeah, Joe Shane. Yeah. What number is Saquon? Is he number 30 now? Did that happen and we were unaware and that's why B's all in?
I don't know nothing about that. I haven't seen his number.
Nah, he's 26. But yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be really – the Giants season is going to be fascinating because – I think I'm a Daboll believer, but I don't know about Shane. And I think, you know,
actually we're in someone's basement.
we're in a office, but
we're in an office room.
It's beautiful natural light. I'd rather have natural light than put overhead light on for sure.
Well, we're gonna see. Because my face is a little, you know, beautiful. People need to see that.
All right, we'll turn the lights on. I like the hostage look. I think I excel here. You know what I watched last night?
What's that?
Tennis. Did you watch?
No.
Tiafoe into the semifinals. Mm. He took down this Bulgarian dude last night.
Let me go, France. Come on, brother.
I was worried, dude. So Tiafoe wins the first set, and he was up in the second set and just kind of barfed it away. And I was like, oh, no. Like, it was nerve-wracking. But then Tiafoe kind of took control, and then the dude, you could see it, man. You know how the sprinter – that didn't win the 200, like, all of a sudden had COVID and lost his breath, and we kind of didn't really believe him. We think he just lost and was mad. I don't know what happened with this other dude, Dimitrov, last night, but he got hurt. Like, something happened, and then he's down. He lost the second set, and then he just, like, was hurt. And had to, like, talk to the medical people. He eventually just withdrew. Uh-huh. Because in the fourth set, which Tiafoe was cruising, he couldn't move, dude. Like, right. I don't know what happened, if something tightened up. Landfill or Jeff, did either of you watch the tennis last night?
I didn't watch it that long.
Okay. Yeah, it started to get kind of late.
You look at tennis and how they're running and sliding and doing it. They could get hurt.
That's what the announcer said, that it might have been he had this – he kind of ran up to hit a forehand, and like his leg skidded on him, and the announcer was suggesting that was probably the issue. Mm-hmm. Here's my question for you: if somebody gets hurt in, so this is the quarterfinals, this would be divisional weekend of the NFL playoffs. Yeah. If somebody gets hurt and it's not something that requires surgery or a cast or something, I'd say 9 times out of 10, that person's going to end up back on the field in that level of the game.
They're going to try and play, yeah.
Do you think tennis has whatever that medicine is or whatever the shot is or whatever it is,
the thing about it,
you think tennis dudes do that? I'm not judging anybody.
No,
I'm asking.
I think everybody does it. But anybody at that level of a sport, they do it. But it gets to a point where that medicine does no good.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to push off And let's say I don't feel it, but I go to push off. When I go to push, I don't go. That's a problem, you know, because we've seen some of these guys damn barely limping out there, and they are playing the whole damn game.
Yeah, dude.
When you get into that rhythm and you get that momentum going and adrenaline going in your body, you'll feel some stuff. Till the game's over, then you go, what the hell did I just go through?
Yeah, I think that's totally legitimate. I think this dude, it looked like his back just like completely locked up on him. Or like his hip. I don't know what it was, but he was shot. And it's going to be – dude, so now in the semis is Tiafo versus dude Fritz. I think his name's Taylor Fritz. Yeah. Both are Americans, so no matter what, there's going to be an American in the final of the U.S. Open. When's the last time an American won the U.S. Open? Who could it even be?
American man, you mean?
Yeah.
Probably forever.
I mean, is it like Pete Sampras? Or no, it was Roddick.
Yeah, I think it was Andy Roddick.
When was that?
A while ago.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know when that was? 2003. 21 years. But then you had Federer, Joker, who's a Spanish dude? Nadal.
Like, Nadal.
It's been a rough time for men's tennis in the U.S. So, very cool. Excited to watch that. That is Friday night, I believe. These tennis matches are kind of late, though, B. I didn't mind that my man Dimitrov got hurt because then I could go to bed. another thing happened to me this morning. I dropped the kids off at school, right? And for years, I park and walk them up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's one of the best parts of my day. I walk Shelby up to, like, kind of where she just walks to the school, you know what I mean? Say I walk her halfway, and then she, for years, has kind of run to her classroom, but would always look back and wave to me. The looking back and waving kind of stopped happening last spring.
She's tired of you, dude.
It was still nice, but she kind of just ran to school.
Yeah. She's tired of you.
But I hold their hands, right, as we walk up.
Yeah, I want you to hold their hands anymore.
This morning, Shelby said, Daddy, I don't really want to hold hands.
Jay, they're growing up. They don't want to deal with all that crap you're doing. Did you hold your daddy hand that long?
I don't remember.
Probably not.
I don't know if he... Can you be a girl dad for a minute
yeah.
and just tell me that it's...
I'm telling you how it happened.
Yeah, but tell me something nice instead of busting my balls about it.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I had three of them do it to me, so what the hell?
It was tough,
I'm not going to sit up here and... Oh, man, get over it. Cry a little bit. His eyes get a little damn...
But I still have my little one. But
oh,
she's
she
so
don't
crazy.
Want, she don't want to deal with you already. she had not wanted to deal with you for about...
Shelby's my sweet
three
one,
three years
man.
Now.
Shelby's my sweet one and is over it. I don't know. Thanks for the support there, B. I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm just telling you based off experience, son.
I believe you.
Believe me, it'll get worse.
Something else that I have experience with. Football season starts. You get really excited. You start firing off a billion bets. Let's all take a deep breath. Remember, it's September, and it's not only the start of football, but it's also Responsible Gaming Education Month. If you decide to get in on the action this season, the American Gaming Association wants to remind listeners to have a game plan when it comes to betting. A solid game plan includes betting with legal sportsbooks only, knowing the odds, keeping it fun, and sticking to a budget. Please go to haveagameplan.org to learn more. Brought to you by 106.7 The Fan's proud responsible gaming partner, the American Gaming Association.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jumbie.
There we go.
Trying to track down our friend J.C. Allen. Covers the Bucks for Bucks game day. You know, it's funny how these news cycles work. The Todd Bowles thing yesterday kind of popped, and now everybody's kind of reacting to it. I didn't care much yesterday. I cared enough to say I want the bots and the culture war people to stop jumping on every time somebody says Redskins and acting like it matters, because it doesn't. When the owner comes out and said, it's not going to happen. But now everybody's reacting the next day. I'm firmly at a I don't care. Do you like?
Well, I'm not even thinking about it. Let's move on. Because, I mean, what is it you could say? That someone mentions a name from another team that played for this team. What are you to say to worry about the future or the past or whatever else? He made a comment. That has nothing to do with the game coming up. I could care less about that.
And he played for this damn team. So it probably was just slipped his mind.
Yeah, and the whole thing about it, listen, man.
Or is there any chance you think Todd Bowles is a culture warrior and this is his hill to die on?
No, I don't think so. And I think the ultimate thing is the guy who has control over that came up and told you, we're not doing that. We can't do that. Okay? And he just moved forward. So to hell with that.
Agreed. J.C. Allen joins us now from Tampa. Bucks coverage for Bucks Game Day and SI Now. JC, what up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
We're doing good, man.
We are curious what you got down there. Obviously, Tampa had the big playoff win last year. I think surprised a lot of folks. Todd Bowles, defensively, we know what that is. You lose the offensive coordinator that works so well with Baker Mayfield. How are folks feeling in Tampa?
I think the optimism is pretty high. You go into an off season where there's so many question marks. First, as you mentioned, you lose Dave Canales, so you're replacing a offensive coordinator. But names like Levante David, Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr., Baker Mayfield, all free agents. Some of them expected to hit the market, but the Bucks go in and they bring in Liam Cohen from the Rams, which helped bring back Mike Evans, helped bring back Baker Mayfield as well, who had spent time with him, similar system. They get Antoine Winfield with a franchise tag and then sign him to what was the largest contract for a defensive back before Patrick Surtain just broke that.
That was like this morning, Levante, right?
Yeah. They bring back Levante David. They sign a key pivotal player missing from the secondary in Jordan Whitehead. And then they reach a long-term deal with Tristan Wirfs to lock him up as the highest-paid offensive lineman in NFL history. So there's a lot of optimism about the where the defense is headed, bringing back a majority of the same playmakers, and adding to it with a Jordan Whitehead and through the draft, second-year development. And then on the offense, while Dave Canales will certainly hurt a little bit, I think Cohen comes in, and he's a direct branch off that McVay tree where, kind of Dave Canales was from the Shane Waldron and had some – different things in there from Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel and Marty Schottenheimer that he learned, or Brian Schottenheimer rather, mm-hmm. And kind of was a mix of that and no experience as a play caller. And you bring in Cohen, he's got that experience. He's bringing that same system over. So there's a lot of similar terminology, a lot of similar things that they're doing as far as systematically. And I think that leads to a lot of optimism that the Bucks, can go out there and repeat as division champs.
Well, it's a lot of optimism, and I think that brings great expectation. But is the confidence totally in Baker Mayfield to have the year like he had last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, he's kind of an enigma as a quarterback, right? He's never really mm-hmm. had success in back-to-back years. But when you kind of look at into the why behind that, you start to realize he's never really been given a chance. He comes into a terrible organization and you know, he loses, you know, his head coach is fired and then offensive coordinator is fired. And, you know, you go through the changes and by the time he lands in Tampa, he's had 8 different head coaches and 9 different offensive coordinators somewhere around there.
That's crazy, dude.
It's kind of like Alex Smith was with the Chiefs, you know. And I kind of compare their careers, not the way they play or anything, but kind of just like not given really a great chance, you know, as that number one pick to succeed. You know, he had some success in 2020, and then, you know, whether it's through his own ignorance or arrogance or whatever, he tries to play through injuries, and you know, numbers aren't the same. Remember, that Browns team was Chad Henne's stop on a 12-yard scramble from the AFC Championship game that year. Maybe we're looking at Baker still with the Browns. So I think the consistency, the continuity with the offense, the upgrades they made to the offensive line, bringing in a guy like Cohen, who's worked with him, giving him more responsibility. It just bodes well for finally for back-to-back good seasons for Baker to go out there and kind of sling the rock and know what he's doing and understanding. And you got to remember, too, last season going into it, he was in a competition through training camp. So, you know, he wasn't getting all the reps with the ones and kind of still developing that chemistry throughout the first couple weeks of the season. Now they're locked in, ready to go, and he's poised to have a really strong year this year.
Yeah. You know, who helps is Mike Evans. And the guy, I feel like he kind of never gets talked about in the top wideouts, but just continues to deliver year after year. How's Evans and kind of the skill position players looking?
Yeah, I mean, Evans is finally starting to get his flowers now, and it's long overdue, you know, with his 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. And, you know, Mike Evans is going to be Mike Evans. He's going to be
10 straight 1,000-yard seasons is great. Nuts.
Right. He's going to be a vertical threat. But what he's also really underrated for is his route running. He's probably one of the better route runners in the NFL, probably like top 5, top 10. And that doesn't get talked about enough. But, you know, with him and then moving Godwin.
And his durability, man. I just looked this up.
Yeah.
I mean, he just doesn't miss games.
He does, like, you know, and even when
he's played at least 15, that's crazy,
right? And some, you know, when he was missing games early on, it was usually due to like soft tissue hamstring injuries. But you know, he's worked on that throughout his career. Obviously, you know, taking care of his body in better shape, and he's been able to have that sustainability too. But they're moving Godwin back in the slot, which is going to help his numbers profoundly. He's looking like, you know, pre-ACL Godwin. Before he suffered that injury, and Cohen said he's going to play a Cooper Kupp style role in this offense. So receptions galore are coming his way. And then Jalen McMillan has looked really well coming on as a rookie. They drafted him in the 3rd round. Could end up being one of the steals of the draft, I think. He's on the same page with Baker. He's just very fluid, very smooth. You talk to guys like Antoine Winfield Jr., Levante David, guys who have been around and seen some of the best. And they just say he's like a savvy veteran out there. He kind of knows the soft spots in zone. He knows, you know, how to get open, how to create separation. And one of the question marks with him was, you know, can he play through physicality coming off the line and going across the middle? And he's shown that he can do that, and I think he's going to be a pivotal part of this offense.
Ty Bowles likes to blitz. Is that still his mindset coming out of the locker room, making sure your quarterback is ready?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to come up with some exotic looks, exotic pressures. You kind of look last year he had Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi as off-ball linebackers. So he's going to come up with certain things, and he's going to send them from everywhere. And I think that's one of the things about Todd Bowles' defense. Would he thrive with a, you know, double-digit consistent sack artist and one of these top premier edge rushers in the league? Yeah, but the way his defense is, you know, he brings it – he brings the pressure from all different areas. So it'll always keep quarterbacks on their toes. It could be coming from the nickel, the corner, stunts, loops, different twists, all sorts of different things he's going to do. Simulated pressure, he's going to bring it in ways that are going to keep a quarterback wondering, A, where it's coming from, and make them have to get rid of the ball so quickly. And that's part of the reason why the sack numbers from their edge rushers haven't been as high, because it's an emphasis that offensive coordinators put in. Hey, we've got 2.5 seconds to get rid of this ball. If not, they're coming. Someone's coming from somewhere, and you need to get that ball out. So it kind of helps, and it hurts the Bucs as well. especially the defense, because, you know, they want to get those sack numbers, but when the quarterbacks know that that they're coming, he's got to get that ball out quick, and it kind of sometimes limits their opportunities to do so.
You said he had Vita Vea coming on as an off the line linebacker. That should be illegal to have that dude getting a head start.
A running start.
I mean, Vita's something rare. I mean, I've seen this guy be 5 yards deep in the backfield and run 20 yards down the field and tackle a running back. He's a rare breed. And he's slimmed down this season, too, making him faster.
Slimmed down lighter. To what?
330?
Yeah.
320. He was at 350 or 360 last year. So,
he's now 320, a slim 320.
That's a big fella, man. Talking with JC Allen here. You can give him a follow at JC Allen NFL, Bucks reporter, writer, Bucks Game Day, SI Now. Check out the podcast. He's got it all cooking down there in Tampa. All right, dude. Obviously, this game, Sunday, 4 o'clock. The Bucks are installed as a favorite. What do you think happens?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in the beginning, there'll be some figuring it out, right? You haven't seen a lot of this Washington Commanders team, especially not Jaden Daniels. So there'll be a lot of figuring out, and that may maybe lead to some early plays by the Commanders. But I think after the half, Todd Bowles will get it kind of figured out. There's like this thing going around about how he's, you know, not great against rookie quarterbacks, but he's actually 10-5 since joining the Bucs. One of those was a game he didn't play as starters. So I think the Bucs win this handily, probably around like by 10 points or so. I think there's just too many moving parts for the Commanders right now. I think they're going to be a good team, but it takes time for that chemistry to come and to kind of in a game setting. And Washington didn't play a lot of their starters in the preseason. They have pretty much a whole new defense other than their interior and a couple of defensive backs in the back there. I think they're a very promising team. I think the trajectory is certainly pointing up on them. But I think with the offensive line and I think with, you know, some of the pieces on defense, it's going to lead to some miscommunication and some big plays to be made by the Bucks. And I think they win probably – it's early, so offenses aren't always good. Probably somewhere around like 27-17 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's got a lot of questions. Tampa's bringing just about everybody back. But, you know, the reason you watch the games, you never know what's going to happen. JC, thank you for the time, man.
Sunday.
Really appreciate it, man. See you Sunday.
All right.
Absolutely. See you.
That's JC Allen from Tampa. Covers the Bucks for Bucks Game Day and SI Now. He's not wrong. On paper, this thing looks kind of one-sided. Honestly, they don't play the games on paper. Dalton Wasserman at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial on an NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years older, present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. So it's funny getting into week one here. Like, I feel like most conversations are still on the, like, year level. Like, how do you think they're going to be this season? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, oh, what do you think about Jaden? But, like, at the same time, like, it's week one, dude. And I think the biggest questions for this week, like, week one counts the same as week 10. You know what I mean? Like, you got to try to win this freaking game. And I think, honestly, the two biggest questions. Now, I'm not saying, like, will Deami Brown emerge as a number two wideout, right? Well, I did draft Deami very late in a draft last night. I'm not saying, like, those kind of, like, existential questions, but, like, actual roster decisions. Mm-hmm. One, and they oddly kind of center around two rookies. One is Brandon Coleman good to go? Is he your starting left tackle this week going up against the Todd Bowles defense? And two, Johnny Newton, second overall pick, hasn't been practicing. Dan Quinn said last week, we hope to bring him along this week.
Okay.
Now let's be real. They had a walkthrough that was closed to the media on Monday. I'm sure it was more than a walkthrough because nobody was here to check them. But today's the first day we're going to get an injury report. Like, we're back. This is real football.
Yep.
What do you think happens with Coleman and with Newton?
I would say if they were veteran players and they are playing this thing, they could probably work themselves out. But I think the fact that they're younger players, if they're not 100%, they won't put them out there. Because I truly believe that they're confident in who they have in front of Newton, around that, and they're very confident in the person they have in front of Coleman. But if the guys are closer to 100, then they'll be out on the football field. I don't think this is a team that's kind of rebuilding. So why rush these guys if you're going to be expecting to have them around for a long time this early on?
So I think Coleman goes. I think Coleman goes and starts. We'll find out today. But I think they really like him, and there's a reason to it.
That's what I'm saying. They really like him, but if he's not 100% ready to go out there, why risk that?
Yeah. I don't think Newton goes. And we'll find out a lot more today. But if you look, I think it helps a lot that the starters on the D-line are John Allen and Teron Payne.
Yeah.
And that they haven't played all preseason. They shouldn't be coming in banged up or anything. If you look at, like, the true D tackles that are left, you know what I mean? Like, I think they'll be elevating someone from the practice squad. They signed this guy Sheldon Day, who played in 6 games last year. I don't think they'd be elevating their international pathway player. The guy, you got this one for me, Haggai Dabusi?
Dabusi.
I don't think he gets elevated. I think Carlos Watkins is listed as a DN, but he's 6'3", 305. But what I know, B, is you're not only going into week one with 3 defensive tackles.
Yeah,
there's going to be a fourth.
There's going to be a fourth one there. You know? So
I feel like it's going to be Sheldon Day. So Saturday night, when you get that alert on your phone or whatever it is, don't be alarmed. I think this is kind of part.
But I don't think anyone should be alarmed if Newton doesn't go at this point. You know, like I said, 2 surgeries in the offseason. If it's to this point and he's 100, yes, you try it. If he's not, you don't rush that.
Long season, man.
Yeah, it's a long season. It's a long plan.
Right. So I mean, especially
if he plays the first game, or I'll give you. You want him to play the first game, or you want him to play the next 5 to 10 years? That's the way I look at it. I would much rather see him not play the first game and didn't have a great career than try to be so gung-ho about, oh, got to be ready for the first game, and then get banged up and be having, you know, those little aggravating injuries and things throughout.
For sure. It's just fun to be on a game week. Like, practice scheduled to start at 1 o'clock. Injury report will probably come out this afternoon, evening, 4:30-ish. I think Coleman will be close to full. You know, if you remember, they got rid of the probable designation. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if Newton doesn't come out today listed as doubtful, frankly. And we're off and running, man.
See, I think about me, man. I care about whoever comes out.
I wonder if Mariota's going to be on the injury report.
I don't worry about all that. I worry about the people that's going to be dressing out and playing.
Right. I think Coleman is. I think Newton won't. I don't know. We'll find out a lot more today because, you can be – I think they're going to remain smart and cautious, but there's August smart and cautious, and then there's September smart and cautious. But and those are different.
But it's different as you get later in the season. Early on when you got a young person, you still got to play it like it's an August smart. Because we said it earlier, at this level, everybody's a pro. You know, and I look at it the fact that if Coleman can't go, you got somebody on your roster that you better have confidence in.
What does your gut tell you about left tackle, Coleman or Lucas?
If Coleman is 100% healthy, I think they go with Coleman. If he's not, Lucas, they don't have a problem going with him.
You think at this point Wiley's pretty locked in at right tackle? Mm-hmm. I do too. And I think they're expecting that to a lot of things to be better really because of Biotish. Here's what we're going to do next. Dalton Wasserman works for Pro Football Focus. He will join the program. Nobody go anywhere.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.